You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Parshas
Korach.
This is one of the terrible tragedies of one of the unholy controversies that took place in the Midbar, where a full-fledged rebellion was organized against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Aaron HaKohen, ultimately against the Torah, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very, very sad to read what happened, what took place. And the more you read, the more you investigate, the more you realize what Korach Vahadasa were trying to do. And their machlokes, they were trying to undermine the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was tremendous jealousy by Korach himself, in which he felt that he was a Ben Levi, Moshe's a Ben Levi, Aaron's a Ben Levi, and look what happened to his other relatives. Moshe became the Melech, the king, the head Navi of Klal Yisrael, the leader, the supreme leader. Aaron went from a Levi becoming the Kohen and creating the whole Kohenite part of Klal Yisrael, and Korach felt, I'm also Levi. They just left me as a Levi. That's all I am. I'm not a king. I'm not a melech. I'm not the Kohen or Kohen Gadol. It's not fear. They took everything for themselves. They're representing only one part of Shevet Levi. So Korach, unquestionably, because of jealousy, King of the Tavid Kavod started a rebellion. And what he was interesting in his rebelliousness was that his rebelliousness, he figured out how to get the rest of Klal Yisrael to rebel as well, going around and telling them that he's not just looking for cover for himself, but cover for each and every one of them. Cover should be something that literally evolves around all the members of Klal Yisrael. He got the Bnei Reuven to start rebelling because he said, we were the Bechar, and all of a sudden the Bechar and leadership was given over to Yehuda, and the double portion was given to Yosef. And he went to this group and to that group, and whatever he could possibly cause people to become unhappy with their lot. And slowly but surely, a major, major rebellion took place. It's called the Rebellion of Korach Vahadasa. And unquestionably, the modus operandi, the purpose of this was, after a while, with all the questions and kashas and debates that were taking place between Korach Vahadasa and Moshe Aaron, they wanted to basically accuse Moshe of lying to them. He was not the appointee of God to be what he is. Aaron was not the appointee of God. There's all pure nepotism. And that many of the halachas that he said over of Terush or Pexplain, Terush or Biksav were not halachically correct. He went out of his way to try to undermine and undercut the whole purpose of Maimed HaSinai, and the concept, B'chol Yamin El Olam, that people always believe, of you being my Moshe Emes, the Teras Emes. He was undermining the entire purpose of the assemblage of Kabbalah Sotara, as I've explained the value of that assemblage in the past. And slowly but surely, the Rebbeinu Lishlom got so angry that he wanted to, quote, obviously destroy all the Klaus, so they started screaming and yelling, who were listening to Korach. And finally, what happened was, a lot of the majority of players separated from Korach Vahadasa. Hashem, because of the terrible Chilul Shem Shemayim, what Korach Vahadasa did, and undermining the Torah authority of Moshe and the concept of Hashem's giving all the Torah Ksav and Torah Shvapeh, and Moshe representing that Moshe Emes with Teras Emes, he undermined that Chilul Shem Shemayim, a total desecration of Maimed HaSinai. He was swallowed up miraculously, he and his entire Eda, to be destroyed forever for what they tried to do. Hashem performed a miracle of Malam Yiderech HaTeva, they're opening up, swallowing and covering them over, and we're going to the lowest portals of Gehenna to punish them for what they did. And in fact, when they finally got there, Hashem revealed to them the mistake they made. The story goes that once Moshe Rabbeinu was, but obviously Moshe and Klal Yisrael continued in what they did, and they ultimately succeeded in what they finally did. But the fact of the matter is, the Gemara tells the story, once a great Gadol was wandering in the desert, and an Arab told him, do you want to see the location where the swallowing up of Korach Vahadasa took place? He took him to that location, and he told him, don't go too near it, because there's tremendous heat and fiery heat that emanates from the hole, but listen as close as you can to what's going on down there. And Moshe, when he heard what's coming out of the opening, he heard Kadech Hadassah to this very day, screaming out and yelling as they're being punished. Moshe emes v'teilosa emes. He found out the truth, he found out the mistake, and quite obviously they're being punished for what they did to cause the Chilul Shem Shemayim. So the machlokas of Kadech Hadassah ended up being a very, very disastrous machlokas, a very unholy machlokas was done because of COVID and Taiva and Gaiva and everything else, and it caused a major, major mapala for certain sectors of Klal Yisrael during that period of time. There is a Mishnah, which I want to start off to share with today, which depicts the machlokas of Korach and compares it to other types of machlokas. The Mishnah is in Masechtas Avos Perikei, Mishnah Yitzayim, and the Mishnah says the following. Kol machlokas ilushem shemayim, any machlokas is done for the sake of heaven, sofilaskayim, will ultimately have total permanence in the historical religious record of the Jewish people. However, machlokas that's not lushem shemayim, ain't sofilaskayim, will not have any permanence, it will ultimately be destroyed, this machlokas, self-destructive and disappear. The Mishnah then describes what are these two examples of a machlokas l'shem shemayim and a machlokas not l'shem shemayim. Eizi machlokas l'shem shemayim. This is the machlokas, the controversy between the great Tanoim, Hillel, and Shammai. And what's a machlokas she'en l'shem shemayim? This is the machlokas between Korach v'Chol Hadassah. The machlokas that took place between Korach and all the members of his assemblage that rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and the Torah we receive from Har Sinai. And when you look at this Mishnah, you say to yourself two things. Number one, why is the machlokas shalosh l'shem shemayim as a machlokas between Korach v'Hadassah? Wasn't Gradoso making a machlokas with Moshe v'Aaron? They seem to be excluded from that expression. The simple answer is, the machlokas and shalom l'shem shemayim had nothing to do with Moshe v'Aaron. Whatever they did was l'shem shemayim. But what Korach v'Chol Hadassah did to make a controversy against Moshe and Aaron to have all the titles they had, their entire assemblage was a controversy for not the sake of heaven. And that's why it's singled out like that in the Mishnah. But what I want to deal with today is not the machlokas shalom l'shem shemayim, which is pretty obvious. What is concerning to me is the fact that the debate that took place between Moshe and Klal Yisrael was a machlokas that ultimately Korach v'Hadassah called to be shalom l'shem shemayim. However, when you have Hillel v'Shammai, or the great Torah sages of their generation, having a halachic debate in the Beis Medrash concerning how the Torah Shabbat should be interpreted to interpret Torah Shabbat and the halachic ramifications, why does the Mishnah call that a machlokas, a controversy, for the sake of heaven? It's a very harsh term, machlokas. Why not say that, basically speaking, it's a debate when it comes to understanding the halachic depths of Torah Shebichtav as interpreted by Torah Shelo Peh? It's a machlokas, not a machlokas. It's a debate in halachic analysis. To use the word machlokas seems to be a very harsh term. And what I want to explain to you today, what machlokas l'shem shemayim means, and Hillel v'Shammai being the example, why the term was used, and how we understand it, and how we constructively, once we understand what this means, can use it today for our own spiritual growth and development for the rest of our lives and our lives or our family to the end of time. So listen very carefully. The fact of the matter is, to understand the Mishnah is machlokas l'shem shemayim, machlokas for the sake of heaven, I'm going to run immediately to a Gemara in Masechtas Erevin on Daf Yagimel Amabeis. And the machlokas, and the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Erev the following story. It tells us that for 3 years, Shlosh Shanim, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the schools of Shammai and the schools of Beis Hillel had a machlokas. Halala onim halacha k'maseinu, halala onim halacha k'maseinu. Each one wanted to claim that halacha should follow either like Beis Hillel's opinion or follow Beis Shammai's opinion. Each school wanted to say that halacha should be like us. Ultimately, the Rabbanu Shalom intervened. Yad Zabaska, which is a form of nevuah, came out. V'amra, I want you to know the following, Hashem says. Hillel v'Shammai and Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Eilu v'Eilu Dibiltim Chayim. They both represent the word and words of the living God, which means basically both of them are emes, are true in what they're saying. But despite that fact, the Baskel said, Halacha g'Beis Hillel, the halacha follows like Beis Hillel. The Gemara says, and when this Gemara was learnt in the period of the French, German, and Sephardic Rishonim, the Ritva, one of the great Sephardic Gedolim, tells us a story that the Chachmei Tzarfas, the French and German Balei Tzfas, wrote a letter, a communication to the Chachamim of Sfarad. It seems the Chacham of Sfarad were more versed and more intensely involved in Midrashe Agadah and Agadahs like this than perhaps their French and German counterparts, who were very, very engrossed continuously and exclusively in halachic analysis. So they asked them, how can we understand this Gemara in Erevin? How can you say the halacha is like Beis Hillel, as if Hashem's paskening this, and at the same time say that the machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Eilu ve'Eilu, divrim chayim, what Beis Hillel says is MS, what Beis Shammai says is MS. So both of what they say is MS, so why is the halacha like Beis Hillel? What's going on over here? How can you have two opposite opinions? Well, one group is saying something's tamei, the other group saying that the halacha it's tahar. One says this halacha is a representative of something that's mutter. The other opinion says it's also polar opposite piske halachos. How could two mutually exclusive opinions be elo divrim chayim? The halacha is like Beis Hillel. So some rishonim say very simply that part I understand, because the Torah already tells us when it comes to psak halacha, Achare Rabim Lahatos, you follow the majority rule. And most of the time, except for one major occasion of the Yudches Gezeros, most of the time when the Sanhedrin was meeting, the majority of people in attendance and participated were members of Beis Hillel. There were more Beis Hillel Nikkers than Beis Shammai Nikkers, so the Rov usually followed Beis Hillel. In those rare occurrences, the Rov followed Beis Shammai, and very, very singular incidents, the halacha was like Beis Shammai. So how we paskin this, we understand. But what does it mean, Eilu v'Eilu divrim chayim? If you don't according to the majority rules against Beis Shammai, and we hold like Beis Hillel, so how can you say what Beis Shammai said, which is basically disregarded, is Eilu v'Eilu divrim chayim, they represent the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Explain this Maimer Chazal to us. This is what the Chachmei Tzarfas and Germany asked the Chachmei Sfarad. What the Ritva does is he says the answer to this question in MS is based upon a Talmud Yerushalmi text in Masechtas Sanhedrin. Very, very powerful Gemara. In the fourth chapter, Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin, Mishnah Beis over there. And I'm going to quote you now that Midrash, that specific source, and explain it to you. And by the time I finish, you'll have an answer to this very major, important hashkafic question, halachic question. And hopefully, I'll do more than just explain the Maimon Chazal. I'll explain to you how our system works, and the reason our system works the way it does, and what we derive from it. Listen to the following story. is based upon a pasuk in Shir HaShirim at the end of pasuk Dalet. It says, Meshar Ahayvucha, that's the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And upon that pasuk, the Talmud Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin gives the following story. After the 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe received Kol HaTorah Kula, the entire Torah that Hashem gave to the world, to Klal Yisrael in particular, Moshe Kibul Torah Misina, he got everything. Everything was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only halachas and debates and shiurim that were going to be relevant to his generation, those 40 years in the Midbar, but he is also given a gilui from Hashem of all the controversies and halakhic debate of all thousands of years of generations of future Jews, of the gedolim of each and every generation. Even a Talmud Vasik, what the younger Talmidim say is chidushim in Torah. The Tal Yerushalmi says Maseches Peah, even that was revealed to Moshe in Hashem's teaching Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe was given a total hisgalos, a total revelation of Kol HaTorah Kula, the Nikla of Torah Shel Baal Peh, even the Nistar, the Kabbalistic parts of Torah Shel Baal Peh, everything was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, before he went down to Klal Yisrael, said to Hashem the following. This is where the Yerushalmi takes on the conversation that took place between Moshe and Hashem. Amar Moshe l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hoydieni Halacha. Ribbono Shel Olam, I have a simple request for you. I enjoy the divine shiurim that you gave me of Kol HaTorah Kula in these 40 days, 40 nights. I was so overwhelmed, I didn't have to sleep, I didn't have to dry, I didn't have to close my eyes. I was awake 24-7, unquestionably. I was so imbued and so uplifted with the Torah you gave me. I didn't have to even eat and drink for 40 days or 40 nights. I survived by enjoying the Ziv HaShchina V'Kadosh Baruch Hu that took care of my nutritional needs. Unbelievable what was going on. But I have a request. I'm now going to descend from this mountain, meet with the rest of Klal Yisrael. They're going to tell us and say to me, Moshe Rabbeinu, what did Hashem teach you? I'm going to tell them, I have such an incredible terush of satirish what to share with you. It's unbelievable. It's almost infinite in its quality of analysis and understanding. And clients are going to say to us, Moshe Rabbeinu, sounds exciting. But we as people who want to do Hashem's Ratzain, we want to know, before we go into this lumdis and analysis, what is the halachic bottom line? Any Rav knows, when you teach a congregation and you give a very lumdis yeshir, at the end of the day, the palabatim say to the Rav, Rebbe, ah, what a gevaldik yeshir. Well, what's the bottom line? How do we paskin? How should we conduct ourselves? If you don't realize it, most of the svarim being produced today in our generation by Yitzchak and everybody else are books dealing with psak halacha, how we paskin halacha even in our modern society which you live today. Look out there, you'll see what I mean. So Moshe made a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I go down to Klaus and they say to me, Moshe, what's the final psak halacha? Ribbono Shel Olam, give me a divine kitzur shulchan aruch. So that everybody will know what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. And those who have a desire to go into the lumdis and have deep shiurim, I'll do that as well. But I need a divine shulchan aruch to teach them the do's and don'ts, at least the common man who might not be inclined or claims he doesn't have the capacity to go into lumdis. At least he'll know halacha l'masa, what you're supposed to, what you're not supposed to do. Imagine the divine Mishnah Brura and Kol HaTorah Kula. So Amalei, Hashem said to Moshe, in regards to this request, Amalei, Achrei Rabba Mahatis. My dear Moshe Rabbeinu, I already paskened in the Torah that you down there, the Bezen HaGadol, the Gedolei Hadar, have to have a debate about how to interpret the Torah using all the methodologies you and you communities I gave you, come to a majority vote, Acharav Nahatos, whatever is the majority opinion, that's how you're going to paskin. And that's how you're going to define what halach is. So Moshe said to Hashem, Kol kach lama, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, why are you making it so difficult for me to give over the Torah, for Klal Yisrael to observe the Torah? To have to go through such a lengthy process of halachic analysis, so much debate, so much discussion, and then come to a psak halacha. Why did you make the concept of knowing halacha and learning Torah so complicated, so intense? So Hashem says to Moshe, listen to me, Moshe. Kidei she'atara nidreshas, mem tespanim tahar. I want the Torah to be interpreted 49 ways in Tumah v'Tahar in both directions to see all the possibilities. V'omer, and then to finish it off, meishar ma'alvucha. Now, what does Meshar Avilch have to do with answering the question of Moshe Rabbeinu? So I want to read to you what the Mefarshim on the Talmud Yerushalmi Sanhedrin explain as Hashem's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's request for a Kitzer divine Shulchan Aruch. When Moshe says, I want a halacha baruch mechletes, a definitive psak halacha. So Hashem says to Moshe, let me tell you something. I want to tell you that the psak halacha achrona, if I gave you that information up front and told you my divine opinion, what should be the ultimate psak halacha, the Torah would not be in the dimensions, would not be analyzed. People would not have havanya shel Torah and analyze it with all the mefarshim. They wouldn't take a black Gemara and start analyzing Rashi and Tosfos and the Rashba and the Rambam and the Ramban and everything else and the Achronim. Maybe just read what the halacha is, like you're reading of Sefer of a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah. This is the halacha. There'd be a Noam Ela Shel Torah. People wouldn't be involved in learning Torah. V'gisa b'yom v'layla. But you're making a mistake, Moshe. The Ikin Torah is not so much how we paskin, which is important. Gulfish Torah, the essence of Torah, Hashem says, is Tzricha l'hidaresh kam upanim, and it has to be interpreted in every way it possibly interpreted. Torah shebiksav and Torah shebapeh, and this is inferred in the words of Shir HaShirim, Meisharm Avucha. And what does it mean? The Ikar Avas HaTaira. The Ikar Avi you have for Torah and Hava for Hashem. Lasos Meisharm Ideas HaNotim is to try to come to an ultimate quality control analysis of the ultimate understanding of the Torah and how we should paskin and know the different opinions Lekad Lekad. When you come to a conclusion based upon majority vote, this type of asak of learning Torah with such depth perception, you'll come to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Hashem said to them is, I want to teach you something. The methodology and the technology involved in creating the Torah was not merely to tell us the do's and don'ts. Because if that was the purpose of Torah, just to know the do's and don'ts, the request of a divine Kitzur Shulchan Aruch made a lot of sense. But Hashem says, you're missing the point. The purpose of and the uniqueness of Torah Shebapeh being given to interpret Torah Shebiksav was to give you the ability to investigate not only what halacha should be, but the panemius, the interior of the Chachma that's contained in Torah. And the purpose of understanding the Chachma and the infinite wisdom contained in the Torah. There are 49 ways this way, 49 ways other ways. Sometimes you have a relationship impossible with the Torah. But when you see the depth perception of the Torah Shabbat Peh, and the depth perception in the interpretation of Torah Shabbat Sav, what do you ultimately realize? The incredible brilliance, infinite divine mindset of the Rabbeinu Shalom, who created this Torah, who brought the Torah initially into existence. Vistaka Baraisa Bar Almi created the Torah, which then created the world. We're able to see the infinite divine mind of Hashem, who created all of Torah literature, who created all the Chachma of Masa Bereishis, all the natural sciences, and the Chachmas HaBriah that's contained therein. When you see that divine mindset of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you see the Matana Teva of the Torah that He gave us, you're able to appreciate who the Rabbeinu Shalom is.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
And why is it important to appreciate who the Rabbeinu Shalom is? So I want to quote you a further Maimon Chazal, which will elaborate and give you even a greater understanding of what Yerushalmi says, and summarize all of this together. The Rambam, in the third mitzvah of his Tayag mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, tells us the following midrashic story from the Sifrei. When the Rabbeinu Shalom said to Klal Yisrael, there's a mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'chol nafsha b'chol miyadecha. What was Klal Yisrael's initial response? They said to Hashem, Ketzat, Eini Yodaya, how in the world can we develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What was the meaning of this question? When Hashem said, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, in Parshas Kedoshim, Klal Yisrael didn't ask the question, how do we do it? When it came to Avas Hashem, they asked Hashem, how do we accomplish this? So the Mefarshim over here on this Sifrei, the Mizrahi and all the other Gedolei Achronim who dealt with this question said, let us explain to you what bothered Klal Yisrael. To develop a loving relationship with another human being is something we're capable of doing. Human beings are all corporeal physical entities. We can see each other, we can talk to each other, we can go places with each other. We can develop a relationship, befriend each other. And over time, with devotion to one another, we develop such a friendship, such a connection. We develop a love for one another. We know technically, based upon human terms, how to develop a loving relationship between human beings. How a husband can find a wife and a wife can find a husband, develop a love between them. We understand the mechanism how to accomplish this. But Rabbeinu Shalom, to fear Hashem and believe in Hashem, we understand to fear what Hashem tells us to do. But to develop a love, how in the world can human beings who are physical entities, who are corporeal entities, develop a loving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is incorporeal, has no physical body? We can't become intimate with something we can't see, we can't touch. We can't walk together next to Hashem. We can't talk to Hashem and having a normal type of conversation. We can't develop a relationship over time in something we can't see, something we can't feel, something that we believe in and does communicate with us. We can't see it. How can we develop a loving connection to Hashem and make this connection a connection of real Ahav to Hashem Elokecha? Teach us the methodology, Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Rabbeinu Shalom answers and says to them, you want to know how to come to Avos Hashem? I wrote the answer in the Psukim in Shema Yisrael that the first Psukim came from. Because after Ahav to Hashem Elokecha, what does it say? That the words I'm teaching you today should become something that becomes part of your heart. When you analyze the Torah in depth, through the help of Torah Shel Ba Peh, and all of its ramifications, and all of the Torah that's taught to us, visiting halacha, hashkafa, natural law. The Torah is full of everything you could possibly want to know of. When you analyze it in depth, on the level that I am giving you the capacity to do, Klaius were given a unique selam the Kim Chazal said, Maimed Har Sinai, we got full Kedushas Israel. Our selam Elokim is much higher, much more deeper, more penetrative spiritually and analytically to the Tzelem Elokim given to the rest of mankind from the time of Briyat Olam. We have a higher level of Tzelem Elokim, gives us greater capacities of attainment of Kedusha, greater capacities of Havanas HaTorah, of penetrating the layers of Torah. When you use those capacities, and you penetrate the depths of Torah, Shebiksav and Torah Shel Ba Peh, you're able to see the incredible, wonderful, miraculous brilliance of the Rabbeinu Shalom's Chokhmah and knowledge contained therein. And you analyze it, you see in Halakha, the infinite forms of controversy, how Yukim Amidas gives us so many different perspectives of analyzing Torah, and coming to different potential conclusions, even perhaps even opposite conclusions, when it comes to interpreting a certain halachic sugya in Shas and Torah. You then realize to make a system like this, a divine software that allows us to see Torah on so many different levels, you start to get an awareness of the mind of the Rabbeinu Shalom you're dealing with, the entity and the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the omniscience, the knowledge of Hashem, of everything that's going on in the universe, the omnipotence of Hashem, the divine capacities of creating a world, Yeshmiayin, creating natural law that the entire universe functions with, from the time of Masa Bereishis, creating something from nothing, and allowing this Bria to then create a earth that has all the elements we need for human creation and human population and animal population and human existence, to give us intellectual qualities and capabilities of receiving the spirituality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a very high level, and have divine mandates and dictates given to us how to conduct a life through Torah and mitzvahs. We're given an incredible, incredible gilui of Hashem is. And the more Havanas HaTorah we have, the greater amicus we have in Torah, halachically and hashkafically, we get a greater hakaras atav and appreciation for Hashem is. And how every day is mechadish v'chol yom tamid masa bereishis. The world exists solely because of the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the brachas he gave us in this world for human survivability in the environment, the atmosphere, or the ingredients we need in food and drink to keep us alive, give us energy we need to do Hashem's Ratzon in this world. Gave it to us, gave it to the animal kingdom, Rachim of HaKol Matzav, the divine mercy Hashem has for all its creatures. When you see all of this, you see the Hashgachas Hashem in the survivability of the Jewish people as Am Segula, against all the adversaries we have in this world. Every generation has anti-Semites trying to destroy us. But Hashem never lets that happen. He promised us in the Brisbane Avasarim indestructibility. He gave Jews capacity to function l'malam iderech ha-teva. Look at all the brachas Hashem gave us. The Jews' historical record to this very day. When you see all of this about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'teichach, you'll come to an understanding of God, a hasagas elokis, which will give you such a connection to yourself and Hashem. You'll develop a love for Hashem at the ultimate concept of this development, of this relationship over time. You'll be able to mekayim ahavta Hashem elokecha b'chol levav kol nafshecha miyadecha. You'll be able to reach that level of avat Hashem. Just follow the formula I gave you. And learning Torah on the rigorous level, as is described in the Yerushalmi, Meshama Avucha, Aydei Shemayashim HaTorah, by coming to conclusions in Psak Halach analysis of the Panemius of the Torah, Avucha will come to love Hashem and appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the incredible Torah he gave us with all its potential sources of knowledge. In every level of human existence, the Ramban says when Shlomo wanted to become the Chacham Yichol Adam, Hashem showed him in the Torah Shebikzav and Torah Shebapeh how every Chachma in this world, Chachma Satanah V'mitzvahs, Chachma Sa'olam of natural everything, is contained in our holy Torah Shebikzav and Teva Shabbat. Mistaka Baraisa Bar Alma. The physical world was created by the spiritual world. There is a correlation between them. And when you know all of this, you develop a love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why learning the Torah, in many respects, is even more important than just knowing what the Psak Halacha is. And that is why when Hashem gave us the Torah, in his spiritual divine software, Yugel Midos, he allowed the Hillel B'Shammai, Basila B'Shammai, and other Gedolim to use Yugel Midos. And in certain areas of Torah Shabbat Peh, Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, there's no machlokes. In Perusha Mekubalim from Har Sinai, the Totafis, for instance, means Tefillin, there's no machlokes. In Halakha, that's based upon Sfarah, based upon Yugel Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Behem. There could be different mindsets and analysis. And Hashem gave the divine software of the Torah the ability for Beishama Basil to come to a Tome Tahar Machlokes and Nasa Mutta Machlokes. Both were programmed as possibilities in the depth perception of Torah Shebikzav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Eilu ve'eilu divlechim chayim. They were both created by Hashem as potential interpretations of ultimate halachic practice. But how we paskin is based upon majority rule. But you got to go through the process because I want you to connect to me. Not just follow my rules and regulations and the kitzur shofonara, the do's and the don'ts, out of blind faith. I want you to connect to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I want you to feel a love for Hashem and appreciation. And that can only be accomplished by studying Torah on a very in-depth level. Meisharma Avucha. This is what the Rambam points out in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Gimel. The Rambam says in the 10th chapter, Hilchus Tshuva, that learning all the Chachmas of Hashem that teaches who Hashem is and what he did and what we can learn from Hashem and what we accomplish in the world because of Hashem tells us Yediyas Hashem Hasagas Elokis, and all the Rama says this brings us to Avat Hashem Yehavta Hashem Elokecha. That's the purpose of the system. Meisharim Avucha. Now based upon this, I'm going to go back to my initial question. What is the reason that describing the debates between Hillel and Shammai, it's called a machlokes l'shem shamayim, a controversy for the sake of heaven? It's a debate. What do you mean a machlokes? So the Mefarshim point out, the word machlokes could mean a fight, a battle, but it also can mean a difference of opinion in interpretation. Chilukadeos, different vantage points in understanding and comprehending the complicated sugyas of the Gemara of Bavli v'Yerushalmi in Midrash Chazal, in interpreting halachas when it comes to its minutiae, as various, very complicated sugyas that could be understood because we have the Tzelem Elokim capacity with Yagatim Atzasi to understand them if we want to put our effort to it. By us having these chilukadeos, you then see the brilliance of the Torah Hashem created for us, and the chachma, the brilliance of God, shines forth. The machlokas of Shama v'Hila and all the gedolim of all generations was called Melchamto Shel Torah, the warfare of trying to understand the depth of Torah on all different types of levels, even having halachic debate in the base medrash. But that's what happened when they debated and analyzed the words of the Torah. At the end, they came to a final psak halacha, and they called for a vote. And we had the Sanhedrin of Gadol, they held up their hands and they told us, what is your opinion, Gedolim of this specific assemblage? Who should we paskin like? And when the majority expressed their ratzon to paskin this way, such was the psak halacha for that point in time. But do not think, if they paskin that way thousands of years ago, the halacha could not have changed over generations. To the opposite, because the Rambam says in Hilchas Mamrim, the second chapter, for those who want to look it up, that when a Beis Din HaGadol passes with you, Gilgul Midos one way, and the halacha for that generation goes according to that mahalach in halacha lamasa, but a subsequent Beis Din in a later generation reanalyzes the halacha, and they come to the opposite conclusion. With the first Beis Din earlier paskin is Tommy, now they say a star, or vice versa. They first said it was mut, and now they say it's also vice versa. You will clear if the God of the Rambam says, oh, after the Beis Din of your historical period of time, of the Gedolei HaTorah, of what the Rambam of that generation paskin should be halacha lamasa, in your period of Torah halachic existence. The second Bezdin doesn't have to be Galavet B'chach B'Beminyin. Ram says that applies to overriding Gezeris V'Takanos, but not in the analysis of pure halacha. Look at the Rambam. If that's the case, everything that the Bezdin does, even opposite opinions, are part of the divine software Hashem in creating the Torah itself. Elu ve'elu diril kimchayim. They represent the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Hashem gave you the capacity to come to two different opinions. It's part of the system of Hashem's divine law of analysis and interpretation. And that's why the Paschal says, Elu ve'elu diril kimchayim. But at this point, the halach is like, Beisil, why? Because they are the one with the majority opinion, and after Rabbi Lahatos and Psach. But as I pointed out to you, certain times Beis Shammai became the Rabbim, and when that was the case, the halacha ended up like being like Beis Shammai in certain singular instances. Yuchesdava, that was Nigzar, Mon Shabbos, at that time Beis Shammai were the Rov. Halacha is like them. But what I want to point out to you is debate. Chilukadeos, machlokas means seeing different opinions to see the panemius of the Torah. And you do it with Shem Shemayim to develop a kesher
between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's L'Shem Shemayim. That's a controversy, a debate that's done for the sake of heaven, increasing the Kedushas Hashem in this world, and increasing the Abbas Hashem in this world, and increasing an environment, a Torah-tic environment, in the world in which we live, for every human being living on the face of this earth.
But when they left the Beis HaMedrash, I want to end with one more Gemara. A Gemara in Yevamos. And listen to the last things I have to say as I finish my shiur today. The Gemara tells us on Yudalad Amud Beis and Masechtas Yevamos, the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had tremendous controversies that involved very severe halachos. Halachos that developed with the Surim of Kareis, Mises Bezen, and other areas. Very, very serious halachic debate and opposite opinions. Despite the opposite opinions they had in these very severe areas, the Gemara says that despite their differences in halachic opinion, lo nimnu beis shammai melisa nashmi beis hillel, that the members of beis shammai intermarried with members of beis hillel, and beis hillel intermarried with members of beis shammai. Why? Lelamedcha, to teach us that despite the halachic controversy and debate in the Beis Medrash, when they left the Beis Medrash and they finished their debate for the day, what was the attitude of Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel? Chiba, love, reyus, friendship, nogim zeh bezeh. There was covered respect that they had for one another. Brotherly love, brotherly concern, incredible Abbas Yisrael. And upon this, the Gemara quotes the pasuk that represents what they stood for, L'kai Mashenemar, a pasuk in Zechariah, Perichas Pasuk Yates, Ho'emez V'Hashalom Eivavau. Through truth and peace, there came a concept of pure love. They had Ava, they had love for each other. They literally lived together. And their families survived together. And the halachic debate did not impact and cause any type of negativism in the social connectivity between these two groups of people. It's incredible. Incredible Abbas Yisrael. That's why Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Yoma, Churban Bayis Sheni wasn't caused like by Churban Bayis Rishon because of Avodah Zarah, Gila Reis, Vashichas Dam, the three Averes Chamunos. It was caused because of sinas chinam, a lack of avas Yisrael, even amongst the chachamim, the gedolim that lived in Eretz, that lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash and the Sanhedrin. There was sinas chinam, and unfortunately, you find in the Nitziv, Naftali Yehuda Berlin, the great Gadol, the Gadol Hadar, and the last major Rosh Yeshiva of the famous Velazhny Yeshiva, writing in his introduction to Sefer Bereishis to the Torah, that the Sefer Torah is called the Sefer Yesharim, the Sefer of Yashrus, of Erlechait, of Kavod Bein Adam Lechaveiro. When Hashem sees love and compassion, an incredible, endless love, Abbas Chinam amongst members of Klal Yisrael, nothing in this world can overcome us. There can never be a Churban Beis HaMikdash. But if Ava is replaced with Sinas Chinam and not proper Kavod,
Chas v'shalom, what destruction can befall us? And the proof is Churban Bayis Sheni. When it came to Rabbi Akiva, the greatest Torah teacher we ever had, 24,000 Talmidim that died after Churban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara Yavama says, you know why? Lo rogu kavod zeh v'zeh. The proper avid, the covet and respect is supposed to have for your fellow Talmud, for your Rebbe, one Rav for another Rav, was lacking in his yeshiva. Never because of that lack of covet and achdus, which the early generations had even in debates, did not exist amongst his Talmidim at that point in time. And because of that, they were destroyed. That's what happened during the Churban, during the Svira. 33 days of total destruction of all those Talmidim. The world was desolate spiritually. Who are going to be the followers of Rabbi Akiva now? Who's going to continue the traditions of Torah Shabbat Peh for all generations to come? Rabbi Akiva, the eternal optimist, as I've taught you many times, did not give up hope. He found 5 more Talmidim. The great Gedolim mentioned in the Gemara Masechtas Yavamais. Gedolim in Torah of Nigla, Gedolim in Torah of Nistar, Remeya Rehuda, examples of Teres Nigla, Shimon Yechai, examples of Teres HaNistar. They took the Chachma and the brilliance of Akiva, of knowledge of Kula Teres Kula. They made Svarim upon this. They wrote Svarim, because at that time, the head of writing down Torah Shabbat Peh was given to preserve it for generations to come. If you go into Golos, you have a safe Torah Shabbat Peh to learn from, to continue the tradition of Torah Shabbat Peh, interpreted, analyzed, examined, which we have to this very day. Millions of Jews learning Torah throughout the world. But the midrashas and seminaries full of men and women learning Torah the highest, deepest level possible. Malkam til shel Torah. But Baruch Hashem is l'shem shemayim. Hopefully it's causing avas achinam rather than sinas achinam. This is what we need to facilitate the ultimate redemption of the Jewish people. That there should be eternal avas achinam amongst all the members of Klal Yisrael. We can't have controversy. We can't have machlokas. It destabilizes us. What makes us worthy of Hashem's divine providence and promises of Eretz Israel and Torah is the concept of our Abba for Hashem, our Abba of Torah, our Abba for Eretz Israel, and ultimately our Abba Satira. And what the Torah stands for. Rabbi Akiva says, Klal Gadol Shebe Torah, V'Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamocha, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah. That's the ego, what all the Torah is all about. My dear Talmidim, Talmidos, this is a very important shiur. The Machlokas Hillel V'Shammai was L'Shem Shemayim. It represented V'Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamocha. It therefore brought to V'Ahavta Hashem Elokecha. Let's hope and pray we spread this message to our Mishpacha members, to the boys and girls, our children, grandchildren who are learning in yeshivas and seminaries throughout the world. Let them realize the ultimate tachlis of Torah is Avas Hashem, but that's accomplished by Avas Abrios, V'Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamocha. Debate in the Beis Medrash is one thing. Having love and concern for our fellow Jew and Jewess is a premier principle in the survival of the continuity and the ultimate redemption of Klal Yisrael. Let's hope and pray the message goes forth and we'll have a tremendous Avas Achinim to Avas HaTorah and Avas Hashem and Avas for Eretz Yisrael. U'l'shan haba we should be zancha for bin Yerushalayim.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.